Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.
Two eliminated contestants this morning, one whose home is usually Gorillabone in Dubbo and whose work is usually 12-hour days in the mine. The other one who nearly didn't last a week on The Biggest Loser but managed to have the biggest attitude turnaround you could imagine. Meg and Charlene, good morning.
Good morning.
Do you know, we weren't sure who we were talking to this morning and we got a twofer.
Have you got two?
Yes. Meg, can I ask you first, how's it been getting back to rural life after your time in Sydney in the Biggest Loser camp?
Well, actually, my husband hasn't let me come home yet. He turned around and said to me that I'm not letting you come out home until you're happy with your weight, until you got down to what you want and after finale. So he's already organised with my sisters that I'm staying with my two sisters until later on, until, I've have a gym here and a supermarket literally around the corner. So it's still a bit hard at the moment being away from my husband, but we're just hoping it's not going to be for much longer.
Good stuff. Now, Charlene, got to ask, did you really, especially considering that, the rough start, did you think you'd last as long as you did?
Oh, definitely not. I was on the back foot from word go. Like, my age, I felt... I just couldn't cope with being the oldest one there, having the young ones around me, Shannon in my face.
young punk yelling at you. What was that about?
Oh, it would look, truly, there's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that happen as well, but I think just having someone speak to you like that when they're younger than you and you're older and you're just not used to this type of treatment, and I think that's the major thing, that was like he could see something in me that I couldn't see, and he just got it out. And I tell you what, my hat off to him. He did a good job.
No, that's a powerful thing, isn't it?
Yes.
But you must have been the happiest eliminated contestant ever. Why did we not see tears from you?
Look, honestly, those guys, and seriously, the time in Hobart was just fantastic, and not being able to participate in that super challenge, those five other contestants worked their butts off and they all deserved to stay. However, had it been the other way around, I would have been quite happy to see Joe go and me stay. But look, seriously, no, looking at all the five of them, they deserved to stay. And I was in a great frame of mind. I was quite happy to go home at that stage.
Mm-hmm. Meg, I've got to say, Joe looked pretty cut. Speaking of Joe, he looked pretty cut when he had the deciding vote and sent you home.
Oh, I didn't expect anything less from Joe. Whenever there's been a white team member up there, he's definitely put our name on there. So
it's kind of a compliment that he's so threatened.
Oh, yeah. He always votes out the big threats first. So
yeah.
It seemed like it was hard for him, though. Sure, it's all strategy and we've got to know that about him, but it generally seemed to really pain him to do it, though.
I think because after the 24-hour temptation, we sort of got to know each other a bit more, and we were actually up together training every morning at 5:30, and you've got to have a training buddy, and pretty much we were each other's training buddy in the house because not many people would get up that early to train. So we both seen how big of a threat each other was.
Uh-huh.
I think he realised if he votes me out, he hasn't got someone to train with of a morning. So it was a flip of a coin for him, I reckon.
Meg, you came in for weight loss and you ended up with this amazing family healing for you and your twin sister. How are things going there now?
Oh, absolutely great. Because I'm not out home yet. I've been living with her and we've just stuck together like glue, training, shopping. She's taking me out clothes shopping and trying to get me a few dresses.
Uh-huh.
Something a bit different, but just sneak the old jeans in.
Good stuff. Yeah. And Charlene, being back home, it must be great. I mean, were you shocked when you saw hubby?
Oh, was I ever? I was shocked when I saw him at Makeover. And then when I came home, I can't believe it. He has done so well at home and being on the outside. Plus, looking after Emma, I'm taking that on, which I think he's got a new appreciation for what I used to do. It's just amazing, the change in him. I have a new husband. I tell you what, it's amazing. I don't know where all this energy's come from.
I think he's definitely got a new wife there as well.
Look, fantastic. So great to talk to you both. Cannot wait to see you on the final show.
Oh, thank you.
Thank
I can't
you
wait
so
either.
Much.
He's released a fundraiser single with Lionel Richie for floods and earthquakes. He's just wrapped his tour of Australia and New Zealand with Lionel. And before he jumped on his flight back to LA yesterday, we caught up with him, Guy Sebastian. And we started with asking about Lionel and when Guy first got into his music.
When I was young, I mean, I love a good ballad. And I mean, Lionel's the king of ballads, I guess, as well as up-tempo stuff. But he just wrote such beautiful ballads, you know, like Truly and Endless Love he wrote. He's got this song called Ballerina Girl, which I really love. And I think he wrote that about Nicole Richie when she was young. And then, of course, I mean, his stuff like All Night Long and all these songs that are always party anthems, you know, and always get the dance floor going. You know, he's definitely been a big influence of mine. So to tour with him was just amazing, such an honour. And to do a duet with him was an even bigger honour. So, I loved it.
Can you take us to that moment where you found out that he'd handpicked you to tour with him? What was that like?
It was great. I mean, I think I first found out about this duet. We did this duet together for the flood relief and the earthquake appeal and stuff like that. And so for me, I guess for me that the main thing was just that I got to record a song with him and make music with him, which doesn't happen every day. So that was a real treat. And then later on, I found out that we were actually going to be touring together. So that was, once again, not something that happens every day and not something that I take for granted.
I guess the kind of era of Lionel Richie too, I'm sure your parents would have been really stoked as well.
Yeah, my parents met him too.
They were cool.
Absolutely over the moon, absolutely stoked. Like I went and got a photo with him in the last show with my folk and him, and you should have seen my parents' face. Like, I think it was one of the best moments of my life, just because I know how big a fan they are. And my parents don't ask me for a lot, and they kind of, you know, said, "Oh, God, you know, do you reckon we could get a photo with Lionel?" And I said, "I'm sure Lionel wouldn't care." And then anyway, then they're in the room. We were in Adelaide, and we were at the wineries there, and he spent so much time with them, you know, like he wouldn't let them leave. My dad kept saying, "How do you look so young? You know, what's your secret?" And because he does, I mean, the guy's 61 years old and he dances around like a 20-year-old, you know, and sings, and his skin's amazing. And hopefully I'll look like that when I'm that age.
Yeah, what did he say to your dad? Did he have any secrets?
He said, I think he was going on about how happy he was. He just said, "You know, I'm happy. I got no stress. Apparently, this is my job. I mean, I'm paid to sit here all day and then go on stage for an hour and a half, and that's what I'm paid to do. And it's not really that hard, so I don't really have any stress lines."
Nice.
And I guess that's the key, really, just to live a happy life.
It's easier said than done sometimes, I suppose. But who came up with the idea for doing a flood and earthquake relief single together? How did that sort of come about?
The tour promoter, Michael Gadinsky, actually, it was his idea. And he was sitting at the Grammys, at one of the post, you know, Grammys parties, and he was sitting there with Clive Davis, who is a very influential man in the industry. And Clive Davis was sitting with Lionel's manager, and Michael Gadinsky was tossing up the idea of maybe doing this, earthquake and flood relief single. And he said, "You know, it'd be great to do a little tour with Guy. What do you think Lionel would say?" And that's when it all got locked in, the tour and also this flood relief single.
Great.
So, yeah, and also actually Red One, who is the producer, he actually donated his time as well. I mean, that guy would charge, you know, about $100,000 a track. And so for him to donate his time was very generous. And it was cool.
Now, can I ask, it sounds like Altian's having a very difficult time at the moment. Do you get to keep in touch with him?
Oh, not really. I don't really keep in touch with him that much. I don't think I even have his number. I know Ronan was in touch with him quite a bit, because I guess Ronan got fairly close to Altian because he was his mentor, you know. And so I know that Ronan's been in contact and has been trying to help him and whatnot, but it's just, I guess it's very hard when you're talking about creative people. It's not easy, but Altian, he's a tough one. He's a tough one. He's set in his way and he's, I don't know, you know, I mean, you know what Altian's like. Mm. He's a little eccentric but I've been a little annoyed, to be honest, at some of the stuff that has been said. I saw an interview and he said, you know, they've taken all my money. Now, take a lot of that sort of stuff with a pinch of salt. It's not the actual case, and he probably really shouldn't be going around bagging, you know, the hand that feeds him, which is Sony. They're his record label, and all they're trying to do is get an album out. At the end of the day, with all these competitions, you've got to steer your own career. You know, like you've been handed this opportunity, and for me, man, I had so many people behind me. I had, you know, this opportunity that doesn't happen very often, and I was so blessed and so, you know, just so humble that I was chosen and that it was my time. And for me, it was a time of doubt and a time of you know, I didn't know what was happening with my life, and I was going to move with a ministry to Melbourne. And you know, I really sort of prayed about it, really thought about it and felt, to stay in Adelaide, and just the fact that it all lined up and this opportunity was there in front of me, it was something that I really cherished. And the thing is, you got to take that opportunity and run with it, and you got to be honest, you got to work hard. And I mean, for the last 9 years, I haven't stopped. It's just been, you know, the love of it and the responsibility that I feel towards that opportunity and that blessing that I was given has driven me to that. But you got to steer your own career. You know, you can't expect people to make it happen for you. And for me, I've had to write my own songs. I've had to do a lot of stuff online. I've had great help from, you know, a great manager, and my record company's been awesome to me. And, you know, Altian said he was down 300 or 400 grand. You know, I guess there's a big difference between those two figures as well, which probably clearly shows that he might not totally be, you know, quite in a position where he's on top of his finances. And it's not easy, you know, they come to a show like that and it happens very quickly, and you need to be a decent businessman. You need to be your own boss. You need to have your own drive and your own ambition, and that's hard when you're your own boss and you've got to make stuff happen yourself. Mm. You really do need focus and you need drive, and so I think there were certain elements of that did frustrate me. He said, you know, I'd rather go and be a forklift driver. I wish I could have my other job back. Mm. And I know that's not true. And at the end of the day, no one forced him into the show. Like, he went there at his own will, and he kept begging for support from people. Ronan believed in him. And I'm saying Ronan believed in him even when us as other judges didn't, mm-hmm. let alone the public. The public all said, oh, he's a bit strange and he's a bit eccentric and we're not into him. And Ronan really got behind him, and for me, I feel it's a bit of a slap in the face to Ronan and to the Australian public that got him there. And I haven't really said anything to anyone about this yet. This is kind of my first opinion about it, but I guess you got to see it from our point of view, where as judges, you know, we're sort of getting behind these people to try and get them a go. Like, you know, whilst the network might be all about ratings, we're just after, you know, getting the best thing that we can get and trying to get them as good an opportunity as we can give them. And so, I don't know, I think I found the whole thing frustrating, and I know I'll probably upset a lot of Altian fans, but it's fairly ungrateful to say a lot of the things that he said, and I know Ronan would be happy.
Mm. And having said that, you're back in for another season though? Prepared to go at it definitely. Again?
Well, yeah, I mean, it was a bit iffy at the start, but I haven't inked the deal yet, but I'm definitely wanting to do it. I was talking to Ronan, he's in the country at the moment filming a movie, but we're really, really excited about the show. I think mainly because of the judges, there's a new lineup and it's going to be really, really cool. I mean, really exciting. There's, you know, Natalie Bassingthwaite, who has been mentioned in the media, and there's somebody else who's taking Kyle's place, who, you know, is going to make the show really interesting.
Really?
Yeah, really, really interesting. So that's I'm looking forward to that. And, but, you know, like every show like this, it's always dependent on the talent. You know, you can have, you know, the most exciting, you know, hugely famous judges in the world, but it's dependent on, you know, solely on the talent that's in front of you. People only, you know, will generally tune in if really if they want, you know, if they want to see that person. You know, what did Billy sing last week? You know, it was amazing what he did with Bridge Over Troubled Waters, and mm-hmm. can't wait to see what he's going to sing next week. That's really the thing that makes people tune in.
Yeah. And what does Easter hold for you, Guy? Do you get a bit of a break?
No, I'm back off to LA. I'm really spewing, actually, because it's such a big break this time. I think, you know, most of my mates are getting 5 or 6 days off.
And, oh, yeah. It connects with Anzac Day holiday this year as well.
Yeah, it's unreal. And I'm spewing because everyone's got plans. Everyone's gone away and stuff. And my, like my brother and his missus and all my mates are going back to Adelaide and going up to Middleton up on the south coast to fish and to surf and stuff, and yeah, I'm spewing, but I've got to go back to LA and write the next album and keep plodding away and but I'll be back in May for some X Factor auditions, so yeah.
Great. Build up the frequent flyer miles. We'll see you soon.
No worries, exactly. Yeah, I can't wait.
It's Guy Sebastian. Good to catch up with him at the end of last week. He's in LA now, and with that cool song he did with Lionel Richie as well.
Did I just say frequent flyer Myers?
Yeah, I think that's... Don't worry, it's all right.
Okay. You knew what I meant, right?
It's gone. We all know what you
Miles.
Mean.
Miles.
Breakfast with Aaron and Helen, 5 to 9 weekdays on Hope 103.2.